Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right, you are now talking with TD. We are back in the house, back in the studio after last week's live show at Chicago's home of Chicken and Waffles. Appreciate everybody who came out for that. Appreciate A-West and MCD. And guess what, man? Tennessee pimping. We got to hear it at the Titans jersey rollout. So that was an exciting experience. We'll get into a little draft talk with DeCarlos Nicholson, USC wide receiver. We got Chris Sanders with Run TMC. Then we're going to look at the state of the receiver group with Calvin Ridley coming back. And we got myself, Connor Newt, here in the building, man. And I guess we'll start with the jerseys and just the excitement with that. Obviously, the rollout, looking at the old logo, the thumbtack with the flames is gone. No points on the tees, but it's a lot more crisp. You still got the three stars, but it's more of a white and Titans blue. How do you like the logo, the new jerseys? What's your favorite combination?
The logo, I'll start with that. It's going to take me some getting used to. I like it. It looks good. It's a little bit oversimplified, in my opinion, which is okay. That's kind of the common trend around not just the NFL, but just professional sports in general. So I like it. It'll take me some getting used to just because the flaming thumbtack, as they call it, is quite literally the only Titans logo we ever known. So this will take some getting used to, but man, the jerseys are amazing. I love them. I love the homage from the old Titans with the tri-stars and the Navy, and then you have, of course, the Oilers colorway. My only complaint is I would have liked a red face mask, but I understand why it didn't happen. If you had to ask me my favorite combo, TD, I would go probably the white top with the blue bottoms. I think that looks awesome. I really want to see what blue-on-blue looks like. They didn't roll that one out, and I don't know if they're going to wear that. But
yeah, maybe. I know they have an alternate jersey, so that could be the combination. I like them, too. I the white with the classic Oilers number is the same number as the Oilers jerseys. The red on there is nice. I asked about the red on the face mask, and it was kind of like a trade-out. They didn't want too much.
Yeah.
Houston Oilers.
It makes sense.
Look, so I get it. That all white to me is going to be the best. The white on white with the white it's helmet crisp. And the white face mask. And little red highlights, you know, the red sleeve, Jeffrey Simmons, the red gloves. That's going to be tight. So, yeah, the uniforms are good. A lot of back and forth between the city. You know, a lot of Texans fans and Titans fans about it. And look, end of the day, the Houston Oilers have become the Tennessee Titans. So, it is Titans. It's Titans history. And, I mean, it's just one of those things, right? You don't hear you know, Browns fans saying, hey, the Ravens are the Browns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't hear that. So, look, at some point, you got to just kind of move on. And that's my piece on that. But the jerseys are dope. I really like them. I thought the rollout process was really good. The Titans did an excellent job of branding and just, you know, incorporating Nashville into it. You look at the six strings, right, on the stripe there. That's a nice feature. The we over me, which is kind of like a rallying cry. The we is on the collar there. And then on the underarm plate, you got the three stars, all of which are in Navy. So that is kind of a tribute to the Navy look. And, folks, the old uniforms that you have, you don't have to throw them out. You can still wear it.
I think it makes it better. It's like a vintage memorabilia.
It turns them into a throwback, a classic. So it's all good to still wear your two-tone, as you all like to call it. But, look, I want to talk a little bit about these free agents because we got to meet some of them on Wednesday. John Franklin Myers, I'll just go in the order that they appeared. And John Franklin Myers, some of the things that stood out to me was, you know, when he talked about playing alongside Jeffrey Simmons, he can't wait for that. And he said Robert Saleh has a really good way of just kind of dictating how the slides go. And he's like, man, the slides go to Jeff. It's going to create matchups for me, and we'll get one-on-ones, and we're going to win them. But one of the things that I do, like he said also, is just the fact that, you know, Robert Saleh is a leader and understands football. And he talked about his usage, right? Because, you know, when he was in Denver, he didn't really play. He played inside more. He said that wasn't something he welcomed, but he did it. He said he expects to do both, but play a lot of inside here. So that's going to be something, you know, to see him next to Simmons on the inside. And obviously you got Jermaine Johnson out there too, and we'll get into him in a second. But, you know, you look at the energy. He said one of the things that he really liked is the energy that Saleh brings, and it's exciting, and it makes you want to play fast. So I do think those are some good things. The rotation is big too. That's something Jermaine Johnson talked about, the rotation. Because I asked him about just how you have all that versatility up front, and he said that allows you to rotate guys even more because you're able to play in different spots. And the key with that is just keeping fresh legs. That's what Johnson said was important. Just to look at some of the things, like Franklin Myers said, you know, everybody can do it all. So you get to mess with the protections and give them different looks there. So I thought that was intriguing. Both Franklin Myers and Johnson are excited to play alongside Jeffrey Simmons. How could you not be?
Yeah.
You do have that. Jermaine Johnson, he talked a bit about being distanced from the injury, the Achilles injury, how he feels completely good now. He's excited to be back with Saleh. And he said that, it's a fast and violent defense. And he said if you're a D lineman, you love to play in it. So you do have that. It's funny because so you had Franklin Myers, you know, talking about how he's seen Jermaine Johnson grow. And we know Johnson recruited him, you know, and he's excited to be reunited with him. He said it's an opportunity I couldn't pass up. So I thought that was pretty cool that they together said they have some unfinished business.
Yeah. No, it's an exciting addition to the defense, I think. I think John Franklin Myers, in terms of the whole scale of the free agent class you added this year, I think he's the most exciting because I think he's the most capable of being a productive plug-and-play player. He's played under Saleh. He understands the system and what is expected. And look, he's productive everywhere he goes. He was productive in the Jets. He was productive last year with Denver. I expect him to come in here and be productive with the Titans. And I think Jeffrey Simmons playing alongside of him will complement that a little bit. One can be double-teamed, and the other one can get to the quarterback or stuff the run or what have you. I think it's important in this system to have a versatile defensive line, and I think by adding John Franklin Myers and even Jermaine Johnson, I think you're playing towards that. You know, Jermaine Johnson, I don't have, you know, extremely high expectations for just because I don't know what his productivity is going to look like when he gets here. Mm-hmm. But I think he's kind of under the understanding of this is a prove it year for him. He's on his fifth year. He's going to need a new contract. So if he plays well here, I would expect they would probably go after that. He's going to have to deliver on some things. And especially when you've been traded for a promising young player in Devondre Sweat, I think you're going to need to see some, I don't want to say high level, but some decent production from Jermaine Johnson. So
yeah.
Overall, I think defensively, I'm excited about this free agent class. I think you've signed a lot of depth, which you needed in this class, especially in the corner room. I'm excited about that. But in terms of the defensive line, it's all about what kind of production you can get to complement Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, that's the main thing. And how can you make it easier for the back end by getting that pressure up front? You know what I mean? And one of the things also, you know, obviously, Jermaine Johnson, he was a big recruiter, right, and trying to get guys. And I asked him about Robert Saleh and what it is that he likes about him. Here's what he said. He said, I'll touch on his character and kind of what he brings as a coach day in and day out. But first, I mean, it's this defense. If you're a D lineman, you love playing this style of defense. Just look at it because it's addicting and it's very violent and you'll wreak havoc. And he said, but going back to his character, how he goes about coaching, and he's the same guy every day. He doesn't give in on the standard and what he has for everybody and for the team. So he's just a very consistent messenger in that aspect. And I like everything he comes with, everything he's about. I told him as soon as I got traded, just point to the wall and I'll run through it. That's the sound of a guy who's very happy to be playing for the coach that he's with. And he said it, like, hey, listen, how many guys are in a situation where they're blessed enough to be reunited with the guy who drafted them, the position coach who helped build him up, in the same scheme, in a new environment? And that's true. So I like the perspective that he has there. So that's a couple things from the two guys up front. I do also like the feistiness that the cornerback room. We talked to Cordell Flott as well as Alante Taylor. Now, here's an interesting thing for Taylor. So if you go back, 2023, and he said he hadn't played much slot before 2023. He played like around 300 snaps. Then he went to like the high 400 to 500. Last year, 600. He was almost slot exclusive. He said that he expects to play on the outside here, but is willing to bump inside if need be. I thought that was a pretty interesting comment because so many people have put him right there as the nickel and just said, hey, Marcus Harris is going to have to figure it out, when in fact, that's not all the way the case. So I thought that was intriguing as well. Now, when you look at this whole situation, he and Cordell Flott, they're part of a revamped secondary. Cordell Flott, he said it wasn't really that much of a Hail Mary attempt last minute. It was just solid, laid the plan out. He and his agent, David Mulligetta, they knew that they were going to play him as the field corner. It matched, and boom, there you have it right there. So, but they both said that they're looking to bring a new attitude to the DB room. They want that feistiness, that dog mentality. Alante Taylor really liked the jerseys. He's a Tennessee guy. He said he didn't grow up liking the Titans or watching the Titans, but, you know, he's more than happy to be playing in his home state. So you do have that. But that leaves us with Wandale Robinson, just to kind of put a bow around this. And I think when you look at Wandale Robinson, I thought his conversation was pretty interesting because, you know, he said, and Cam Ward, Cam crashed the
I saw that.
Yeah, he crashed the presser and asked how excited he is to play with Cam Ward. That's what he asked Wandale. And he said that's part of the reason why he came to the Titans. Now, another part of it is Brian Daboll, right? And you talk about Franklin Myers and Jermaine Johnson being similar, familiar with the scheme. Obviously, Wandale Robinson is because of the Daboll's ties. But one of the things he said that stood out, he said Daboll's can just find the matchup. And for me, being able to get open on those option routes and stuff like that, I feel it's kind of a big part of the offense. And being able to get the ball out quick from the quarterback and find the zones and find the little areas to get open, I feel I've kind of done that pretty well the past 2 years and expanded more on that this past year, just being able to expand the zones a little bit more going down the field also. And that is something you start to see with Jackson Dart in the game. He was a little more vertical from the slot. So that's something to watch. Obviously, their best vertical threat from the slot, Chim Dike on that deep over. But that intrigued me when I heard him say that. But then he also talked about, you know, getting with Cam Ward and being able to, you know, get with him and make things easier for him. And one of the things that he said, it goes without saying, you got to watch tape together. But he pointed out how Ward, like, hey, man, he's able to create and make plays outside of the pocket. That stands out. And he wants to just be a valuable target, just someone that's always open for him. And these are quotes from him. You know, someone's always open for Cam Ward. And he said that's what they told him that they needed, somebody that was going to be open, somebody could be that safety net. And that's exactly what kind of drew him to the Titans. And it was a challenge. And he wants to be able to grow with a young quarterback like Ward. So I thought those were a couple of really good things that he mentioned in there. And, look, he wants to play on the outside, too. In fact, he says he expects to play on the outside. You saw him do it. Wandale Robinson with Malik Nabers down became in essence, the Giants' number one receiver. Now, make of that what you will, but he was pretty much like he was the guy getting the target. So he pointed out how he did it in college with Will Levis. he said that he's talked to Levis, and he's, as of now, glad to be teammates. But obviously, you don't know how the future could go. But those were a couple of things that stood out to me. His decision, like Cordell Flott, came down to the Giants or the Titans. It always made sense for the Titans because of the history of Brian Daboll, who he called a very creative coordinator. So those are some things that I pulled from the availability that we had. I definitely was glad we got to speak to those guys. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back with Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
And now, coming to you live from the Boston Garden. Starting at point guard for your Boston Celtics. Out of Virginia Tech, number 12, Bimbo Coles.
And now, the heavyweight boxing champion of the world, Leon Spinks.
You're lucky I ain't call you Ben Perlman. Coleman, the old Sixers and Net. He passed away, so I don't like
him. Oh, yeah.
I don't use any dead right
now. Boy, but Leon Spinks had that curl, though, didn't he?
He had the curl. He had that tooth, man, looking like a video game. That missing tooth, man. Remember Mike Tyson punch out with it? Mike was missing the tooth out in the video game.
Body blow. That's a classic, man.
Oh, yeah. Body blow. He's down for the count.
What's cracking like, man?
Nothing much, man. Just another week in the off season.
Yeah, man.
It's a season that never is really off, though. When you talk about the NFL, you got free agency going around. You got the draft. Let's focus on free agency.
Sure.
And
sure.
I think the big thing with that, because there's a lot of player movement. Obviously, Wandell Robinson signed the deal. He mentioned expecting to play some on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
He played mostly in the slot over the last – I mean, we're talking about buku snaps in the slot over the last couple of years.
Right,
Malik Nabers went down. He had to bump outside. Do you think he's someone – like if you were conducting this offense, would you use him on the outside at all?
I mean, it all depends because here's the difference, though. People don't understand. When you're in a slot, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be off the football.
Yep.
So now when you get on the outside, now you're going to be on the football. If they put him at X, he's probably going to be on. If they put him at Z, which he'd probably be in a slot. But if they go on a one wide receiver or two wide receiver set where one's X and one's a Z, or they go 12 personnel, let me back up. They go 12 personnel where the two tight ends got to be on and both of them are off, yes, you can use them. But if you're talking about him having to get off the press on the line of scrimmage when some guys are putting hands on him, can he do that? That's what we're going to really understand. Can he play on the outside? It's just not about, okay, taking the top off the defense and, you know, running the post over goal. Can you run a curl? Can you run a comeback? Can you run a post against press coverage? That's the difference.
I like that technical part of it, right? Talking about playing Z, playing X. Z, you're off the ball. Now, here's the thing with Brian Daboll's offense.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of motion and stuff before that. Yeah. How much will that help alleviate that off the ball or on the ball going against press aspect if he were to play at X? Now, obviously, for those, you know, if he's at X, if he's on the line or whatnot, he has to come off and then go in motion. Somebody has to cover him up, et cetera. But we're just talking about general motion.
Sure, but here's the thing: when you go in motion, number one, you know the defense has got to declare if it's man or zone. That's number one; they got to declare it. So when they go in motion, if a guy follows them, 9 times out of 10, that means it's man to man on that guy. But here's the thing. When you're going in motion and you're off the ball and the guy is following you, you have enough room to work. So if you're running choice routes, if you're running out routes, if you're running a slant, you know, the DB has to give a little cushion. So you lie with your eyes and his hips turn and you run a quick slant, it's money in the bank. But when you're on the line, you have to have a game plan. You got to get the guy off the spot. When I say get the guy off the spot, you got to get him to open up his hips. And then the second phase of it is you got to get on your line or get or stack him. You know, people say different things. And then you got to burst off the cut, you know, at the top of the route. Lie with your eyes and all those things we talk about each and every week. Can he do that? But when you're in the slot, it's totally different because now you have more space.
Yeah, and that space is what's so important, the room to operate.
Because he's not a big guy.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and being able to run those choice routes and thing,
right.
Be on the same page. He talked about film study and just watching the game together and getting the reps is the key to developing that relationship with Cam Ward. He had to play for 6 quarterbacks over the last 2 years.
Crazy.
So it's almost like he's a pro at that. So with that being said, you look at the mix. Mm-hmm. Jim DK, you know, a lot of people, like they said, he's not necessarily a slot receiver. He's, you know, a guy that can move across the formation. I would motion him as the Z, you know what I mean, to the deep over routes, the slants, et cetera, et cetera. But when you look at the full perspective, I know you mentioned Bryce Oliver. How do you see this receiver room working out with Calvin Ward coming back, Calvin Ridley? And what do you think is the importance of having Ridley there?
I mean, he is. I mean, he's still a threat. I know he was hurt last year, and the last couple of years have been okay, but he still poses a threat. He's one of the guys. I mean, when you talk about a guy, you know, basing every route off the 9 and then changing your mind, I mean, he's a perfect example. But here, if I'm a receiver coach in that room, this is what I do, because you have a lot of talent there. You got, you know, the guy you just got, Robinson. You got, you know, Ridley. You got DK. You got Alec Aiyemanner. You got all those guys. But here's what they need to do. Here's what the quarterback, I mean, the receiver room needs to do, or the coach needs to do, is he's got to figure out what guy does it best. Which guy runs the post better? Which guy runs the comeback better? Which guy's in the slot better? Because you have a lot of talent, but you have to put the talent together and put the pieces together so it can work. Because if I'm a guy that just loves playing the perimeter and you try to put me in a slot, but I can't get out of my cuts, then I'm just doing a guy a disservice. So as a receiver's coach, I got to figure out what guy does the thing best. So that's where they're going to have to figure out really, really quickly.
How do you see the targets? I mean, 280 targets over the last 2 years is an awful lot. I don't think Robinson's going to get that here.
He's not going to get it because you got Ridley. So what if Robinson gets a whole bunch of balls and Ridley doesn't? Ridley's going to get upset because he wants the ball, because he wants to be a number one guy. So when you got to have this offense to where you got two number one guys, something's got to give. And then you got an offense to where it's going to be built on a lot of RPOs. And then say if they draft Jeremiah Love, then now what's the identity of the team? Is it going to be run first, pass second, or vice versa? They have to figure it out quick to what's our identity. If it's just a run base, first they're running outside zone, inside zone, which is really, really great, but you're not a pass offense, then you know, how are you going to make this thing work when you have guys that want to catch the football?
Do you think this wide receiver room is healthy right now, like in good shape as far as this year and for the future, or is it in need of improvement?
I think you need maybe one more guy. I just say you just need one more guy, because if I'm gonna name the guys and I'm gonna tell you, do they scare you? Say yes or no. Does Calvin really scare you?
Not anymore.
See, Alec Aiyemanner.
No.
See, DK.
No.
Occasionally. Bryce Oliver.
Not yet.
See, but let me go to Cincinnati Bengals, Jamar Chase. Oof. See, that's it. It's, you need somebody that when you put on the field, you're like, oh my God, he's there. Get that mama, there go that man again. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They have a whole bunch of guys, which is good, but you got to have the guy. When you have the guy, then the defense is like, okay, we got to take him out the game. And I'm looking at this receiver room. Who's that guy? Really could be that guy if he's healthy. But other than that, you just have a whole bunch of guys that will make plays occasionally.
Do you look at Robinson as someone where it's like, okay, opposing team, they better game plan for him?
Just my opinion, not now. And I'm going to tell you why. You just like what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, he had 104 targets and he caught 93 or 94. But here's the dangerous part. You only had 3 touchdowns.
Mm.
See, that's the difference. Because if I have 104 targets and I at least catch 70 of them, 104, it was 140?
Yeah.
140 targets, and you catch 93. I mean, see what I'm saying? It's a lot of targets. I'm not saying he's not a playmaker, TD. I'm just saying that when you have that many targets, you should be in the double digit with touchdowns, and you only have 3 or 4. That's the only thing that kind of concerns me a little bit.
Interesting. Just shift gears a little bit. The Dolphins, they traded Jalen Waddle. Malik Willis goes there, and what do you make of that situation?
I don't know. I mean, when you trade away a guy like that to where, you know, he's an explosive wide receiver, I know some of the numbers have been down a little bit, but he's one of those guys to where he can take the top off the defense, make plays, great route runner, tough guy. But I think they're really banking on next year to where a guy from the Ohio State is coming out, Jeremiah Smith. So they're kind of – I don't know if they're eyeing him right now, but they have no receivers on that roster. I mean, you got Tyreek Hill that was there. I don't know if he's there or not.
He's
been released. So who do you have that's going to, you know, really help Malik Willis? So, I mean, they're going to have to go in the draft and get one of those guys that are out there, maybe from USC or something like that, but he had a disappointing, individual workout. But you just got to find somebody that's going to put opposing defenses on alert. But on this roster, you really don't have nobody right now.
Do you think they told him that Waddle was going to be there? I wonder if he signs there knowing they were going to dump all the weapons.
I don't think they told him. I just think that, you know, Malik Willis wants to play. He wants to be the starter. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what kind of sold him on the Dolphins, because they let Tua go. So Tua's gone. So who else is there? So he goes into a camp not in the second. He's going in as the starter, penciled in. I'm not saying they're going to do some in the draft or whatever. They still got a long season, a long process to go. But right now, he's penciled in as the starter. So even though, you know, he might not have the weapons, and I think they're going to probably go out and get some weapons, but the appeasing part of it is, I'm the guy. I'm coming in there as a starter, and it's my job to lose. I think that was a selling point.
I guess we'll see what happens, man. That's a tough situation for him.
It is,
you
man.
Know, he's going. I mean, and they have picks, so they could.
Yep.
They'll probably take a receiver or two, but hopefully for his sake, it all works out. Let me ask you, getting back to the Titans and getting back to just the offense and making it Cam friendly. At number 4 overall, do you think Love should be the pick? We're gonna kind of touch on this almost every week because it seems it's gonna shift.
I say yes, because if you look at the times that the Kansas City Chiefs won, I know everybody celebrated Mahomes, but they had a good running game to go with it. You know what I'm saying? You have to have a good running game, because if you get into late December and into January, and if you don't have a good running game, then they're just going to take away the pass and you're done. So I think that, you know, getting Jeremiah Love to come in here and play right away and be that guy, it takes the pressure off your quarterback. It said, okay, you know what? When it's 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 4, I don't have to make the superhero play. I can give it to Jeremiah Love and let him make the superhero play, because, you know, it takes the pressure off your quarterback. You let a guy that is explosive, has great, you know, vision, then also split him out, let him catch the football in the slot or a speed sweep or something like that to get his ball in his hands to take the pressure off your quarterback. So I think it'll be a great pick for them. I know everybody's saying it, but everybody's different, so we'll see what happens.
Another thing that takes the pressure off the quarterback is the quarterback himself, right?
And yep,
you look at Cam Ward. Here's case in point, right? On Wednesday, Wandell Robinson had his introductory press conference. And Cam Ward just jumped on the Zoom and was like, "Hey, Wandell, how excited are you to play with Cam Ward?" Having a guy with that type of personality and just that type of laid-backness, how much does that help just overall, the morale and just the keeping the vibes right in the group?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question, because it we talk about this about, you know, love your teammate and, you know, we're playing for our family, and that's what he's trying to do. And let me give you a perfect example how this can hurt you or it can benefit you. When I first came in with the Tennessee Titans, we had a quarterback that came from the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not going to say his name, But he was so rude to the receivers. He wouldn't even talk to the receivers. He wouldn't even eat lunch with the receivers. It took him the fourth game to really talk to me until I started having touchdowns. So my focus was, I don't like my quarterback. I don't like what he does. I don't like his attitude. But once he started to change and started to open up, then I can try to befriend him. But he didn't want to be friends until I did something for him. Look at the situation with Cam and Robinson. They don't really know each other. But Cam extended his hand and said, you know what, you're a part of this family, so let's go be not just be teammates, but let's go be brothers. So now you got a guy coming to a new situation, a new organization, a new quarterback, and he feels comfortable because he feels welcomed. That's going to make the difference.
And that's a part of leadership, right? Welcoming
new ones
to the group, man. Yeah. That's it right there. You know what? That answer was so good. I'm going to leave you without a joke. We're just going to go ahead and get off on that note, man, and we'll continue talking shop next week.
Yeah,
appreciate
man.
It, and we'll leave
brother.
It at that.
Yes, sir.
Monty Hooker, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Hey, man, it's time to kick off the draft series, and what better way to do that than bring in, you know, as a former receiver, I tend to not like cornerbacks, but this is a cornerback I actually do like, and that's DeCarlos Nicholson out of USC. DeCarlos, what's going on, man?
What's up? How y'all doing?
Doing great, man. I appreciate you jumping on. I know you just finished a workout and you know, taking the time to talk some shop. I appreciate that. Let's get right into the workout, like what you've been doing. Obviously, we know Pro Day was earlier this week, but how have things gone?
They're going well. Shoot, I've been able to stay healthy, stay out here, be able to train and work on a lot of things that, you know, I needed to work on to improve my game, and then, you know, sharpen up the things that I thought I was already okay at or good at or whatever, but just trying to load up the toolbox the best I can before, you know, a team calls me.
Where are you working out currently?
I'm still at USC. Still around campus.
Okay. There's a long list of players that have gone through there, especially from the DB perspective. My guy, Sua Cravings, of course. But are there any particular, you know, pros that have come back that you got to work with at all?
Not that I've gotten to work with just personally, I was with Bishop Fitzgerald, Kamari Ramsey, and then DJ Harvey. We're pretty much the ones that be working together. So just future pros, I would say.
Got you. Okay, that's what's up. And as far as the Pro Day, how did that go? Because I know that was recent.
I'm a lot hard on myself, but I feel like I didn't hurt myself too bad anywhere. On my 40, I wanted it to be a lot lower. Well, not a lot lower, but 4.4 or less, and I got 4.5 flat. But I think everywhere else it was definitely solid, and I definitely helped myself out in some areas.
At 6'3", nearly 200 pounds, I think 4.5 is fine. You know what I mean? Of course, I get where you're coming from. You want to run faster, but I think that's fine. How about the field drills and doing those things? What was some of the feedback you got from the personnel folks?
Drills are pretty good. I was moving good. They said I looked smooth. Dropped one ball. I wish I could have had that back, you know, obviously. But other than that, it was pretty solid from my perspective. Some of the other drills, I went kind of crazy at the three cone. I hit a 6.54, I believe, or something like that.
There you go.
Which was pretty good for, you know, showing people I could change directions and my hips and things like that. And then a broad jump was 11. So I think I helped myself out in some areas, answered some questions. And then just be able to show them, you know, what kind of person I am and how I support my teammates and things like that. I think I helped myself.
Yeah, that 11 broad is great. You know, we're talking about explosiveness there. And obviously that's something, along with the change of direction, that you want to have. Mm-hmm. We're talking to USC defensive back DeCarlos Nicholson. You mentioned supporting your teammates. And obviously during practice at times, you know, you got to go against a couple good ones, right? And Mekhi Lemon and Jacoby Lane. Mekhi.
That's two, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, how were those matchups? Because when I asked Mekhi about that at the combine, like, he was very complimentary, and he was like, "Man, no, he made me better. He is one of the better corners that I faced." Talking about you.
Yes, and I definitely, you know, feel the same way about both of them. Having guarded Jack, you know, a lot more than Mekhi, but when me and Mekhi did line up, we definitely made each other better. whether I won or he won, or even if I found a way to win, I would still walk away feeling like I could have did something better, you know. And then it was times where I remember vaguely he embarrassed me, like when scouts were there, and I thought I was so confident to get up in that slot, and he made me stop my feet and ran right past me. So we definitely made each other better. Jacoby, I've seen what he does in the games, but his practice is just amazing. And the way that they attack practice, it was like a game every day for us. So definitely getting to go against them too on a daily basis was made the games a lot easier. I will say that.
DeCarlos, if we pair your time at USC, you know, with Mississippi mm-hmm. State, you know, a wide collection of receivers you've gone against. The Notre Dame game, you had Malachi Fields a lot one-on-one. Was that the best matchup outside of going against Mekhi and Jacoby, or what would you say was your best challenge?
He was a pretty good player, and then he's long. You know, he's long. He might be longer than me, and you know, he made an excellent catch that they ruled out of bounds. You know, but I still wasn't violent enough on the finish, and he was able to make the catch. But it could have went either way. But I think the most trouble that I had was the Purdue game, actually, and it might have been a lack of focus or something like that. But that receiver Nitro Tuggle that they had was pretty shifty, and he was able to get me on a slant route, score on me, you know. So I'd say he had the toughest, but that might just be because he had a touchdown or whatever. But Malachi Fields was definitely up there this season. I would say the guy from Michigan was pretty solid as well. Number one, another bigger guy, he was pretty solid. Dane Key actually gave me trouble at Mississippi State, and I let him get a touchdown this year too on a back shoulder. So, them were some of the guys that left a little stain in my memory for sure.
Now, as a DB, you have to be able to forget that quickly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How do you go about doing that in a game? You know, you give up a touchdown. What's the mindset when you get back on the field?
For me, it's just remembering who you are. And then one thing that my first Division I D1 coach taught me was you just got to God, what did he tell me? It's right on the tip of my tongue. I'm sorry.
You're good.
Dang it. You got to critique yourself first. Like, what could I have done better? Rather than just go ahead and giving him the credit. Like, man, he's so good. But what if I could have done better? What, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's technique-wise or finishing violent on the ball. And those are things that I really look at, like, okay, bet. If I was in position right there, but if I would have finished a lot more violent and not been as cool and calm, collected, then, you know, he wouldn't have caught that ball. So just things like that, remembering what I was taught, remembering who I am and, you know, what I bring to the table, and then going back out there. And also pride, like, you're not going to get me again. You lucked up and got me this one time, but I'm not going to let you get me again. So I think that's what sticks with me. And then also, you know, not letting my team down and not, you know, being the reason that we lose the game.
I like the lesson from a loss standpoint. That's the right way mm-hmm. to approach it. I like that. When I going back to that Notre Dame game, I saw the one where you came up and you rocked Jeremiah Love. He was running that outside, that kind of like a off tackle run. You came up and rocked him. How much pride you take in being able to support against the run?
Man, I mean, I'll go back to that same DB coach. Coach McBath, and then Coach Reed as well. Even Coach Belk, if you can't tackle, you can't play. So, I mean, it's not all about covering. That's what a lot of corners, you know, think it's about. But it's you got to be able to tackle. You got to be able to hold your own and eliminate leaky yardage. And it's a game of inches. So I just feel like – and it also brings a sense of confidence and, like, momentum to the team, knowing that we're really – I'm on the taller side, but, you know, more of the smaller guys on the field when it comes to turns of deep D-linemen, linebackers, things like that. So – just bringing that energy, to bringing that juice, especially against a player of his caliber. Because I even joked and said, "I tackled Adrian Peterson because you know he runs the ball that well and that hard." So that was definitely prideful for me, and being able to support any run, I feel like it brings a lot of juice to the team for my cornerback.
Yeah, and we're talking to USC defensive back DeCarlos Nicholson. DeCarlos, that's a part of being a complete DB, right? Being able to play against the run as well as the pass. But then you could be used on the blitz, too. I saw you come off the edge a couple times. What is to the timing and being able to disguise that? Because, obviously, you don't want them to know you're coming off the edge mm-hmm. when you're on the outside, but you are at times.
Shoot, you just knowing your scheme and knowing, you know, also just knowing, like, what the other team thinks of you and how your tendencies, you got to be aware of your tendencies and what you do. So maybe I come down or I start off and walk down, or, you know, I start down like a hard press. Like, I'm so locked in on pressing this guy, trying to make it look like they got a one-on-one. Even it could open it up for the safety who might be rolling down to play man-on-man on that guy, you know what I mean? And then just not being accounted for and making it seem like I'm focused, but also paying attention to his cadence and snap count and things like that, and being able to time it up just at the right time and being at the right spot to be able to get in there unaccounted for and make a play, for sure.
Now, we talk about blitzing, being a force against the run, the coverage, obviously three important aspects. Who are some, like, if there were – fans that haven't seen you play, who would you point to in the league and say, okay, this gives you a snapshot of what I bring to the table?
I still got to stick with my favorite, my all-time favorite. This is from when I first started, so that would have been 2021 when I first started. Marshawn Lattimore, just that swagger and that chippiness he brings.
He always want to fight, man.
Always want to fight.
Him and Mike Evans, they always want to rumble.
And I love that. So, you know, you got to stand your ground. Sometimes you got to stand up for your teammates, things like that. And just bring that dog out. But also a guy like Jalen Ramsey, just being able to do a lot of different things. And then the third one, I don't know, I'll bring up the guy from the Super Bowl with the long last name, Nick something.
Oh, Eamon Worry.
Yeah, he did a lot of things that game, so I'll bring him up. And yeah, he tackled, he defended, and he came in on a blitz, so I'll bring him up.
Yeah, he wants to play all over the place, and a lot of the coaches like that. What's some of the good feedback you've gotten from the personnel folks you spoke to?
I guess above all things, maybe my character and just what other people say about me. I haven't really dived too much into the tape with a lot of guys and about what they think about my performance. Just solid player, I would imagine, but just more about who the people say I am and how I interact and the leader I am and things like that was really what stood out to me. I remember I've really only spoken with them at the Hula Bowl, not really too much since then, but I would say that's probably the common thing that I get.
How was that Hula Bowl experience? That's a all-time bowl. I mean, that's been around forever, the All-Star game.
Yeah. It was great. It was an honor to be in there. And then the year before I went, they inducted Coach Prime into the Hall of Fame. So that was kind of I know it's a little different than it was back then. And it's probably more bowl games now, but I mean, he still played in that game. So it was kind of a different experience for me. And just nice to know, you know, that I had another chance to show them what I could do and get in front of NFL GM scouts or whatever the case may have been. So that was pretty good.
No doubt.
And be around a lot of good players.
Yeah, and then you talk about the character aspect. I want to go back to that because being a parent, that builds a lot of character. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with your son and how much he's a motivation, a source of motivation for you.
I'll just take it back to how my parents taught me. And I mean, you know, he didn't ask to be here. So I got to do what I got to do to make sure he eat and, you know, provide for him and things like that. So and then just, you know, having him around the facility and seeing that he looks up to me and the way he interacts with me, interacts with the team and stuff like that. I just know he's watching my every move. So I definitely got to set the right example for him. And I feel like definitely here at USC, I've been able to do that on and off the field. So just putting him in, you know, way more fortunate situation than I was brought up, you know. So I think I take pride in that and just experiences, things that he's able to experience and, you know, be a part of.
I love that, man. And last thing, you mentioned USC, and that's a place, man, it's all eyes on you. You're right there in Hollywood. It's, to me, just outside looking in, it's almost like being a pro before a pro. How much do you feel that prepared you for the next level?
I think it does a great deal, especially where I've came from and coming from junior college with, you know, I've seen guys with maybe more talent than me, but, you know, just not being able who've come from smaller schools, or I even had Bama bounce backs and, you know, SEC bounce backs and things like that, that I've seen with, you know, maybe character issues or, you know, just not having the right people in their corner and just always telling them, you know, there's the guy, you're the man. But even since I was like 5, 6, my dad, because my mom didn't want me to play ball at first. So my dad's even told me, you know, even when the season's over, it's, you know, you got guys being trying to get better than you. They're going to be faster, stronger. You moving up to the next age group, they're going to be faster, stronger, bigger, smarter than you. So you got to work, you know, that much harder, things like that. And SC, I mean, I'll even go back to another school I was at. It just, you know, being from Mississippi, you don't have all the resources as, you know, a place like Los Angeles, you know what I mean, or a place like USC. So you can't really fault them for what they have. But I would say, like, even the talent here, you got in my room, you probably, everybody else is 4 or 5 stars. And then I transfer here and tell them my story, and they're like, you were a 0 star? Like, and then I just put it into perspective, like, the type of talent that you're able to get, and then the type of, you know, alumni that you see and billionaires that you're able to meet. And then you also got, you know, Miss Katie Ryan, who's, her sole job is to media train you and to make sure that you're not giving out the wrong information, make sure you're always doing the right thing, saying the right thing. So I just feel like it definitely prepares you to be ready for that that next level. And then you got a lot of professional teams out here, no matter what sport it is. So then you also, you might bump into somebody, you know, out in public. So it's kind of just makes you feel, you know, like you're already there without being there. And especially in the new NIL space. So being able to just adapt in a big place like this is definitely going to have prepare you for, you know, NFL and things like that.
I love that. You know, I pride myself on telling the truth, but I lied. I lied. One more question.
You good.
Having the quarterback background, you know, yeah. How much does that help the transition into defensive back? And I thought you, I don't know what, for some reason, I thought you were a 3-star. You were a 0 star?
Hold on. No, out of high school, I was 0 when I was quarterback. And then when I switched after my freshman, so going into my sophomore year of junior college, then I became 3 or 4, whatever you want to call it, at cornerback. But okay. When I was coming out at quarterback, I was 0. But I mean, it definitely helps in the aspect of knowing, you know, certain tendencies, certain concepts and things like that. But then, like I tell a lot of people, once you get to this level and, you know, even NFL for sure, you got the coordinators and people who are paid, you know, millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars to go out there and trick you and make you think one thing, but they're going to do another thing, especially going against Coach Riley every day at practice. I've found that you can't just rely on concepts, maybe sometimes, but when the bullets get flying and it's day 7 of camp, you know what I mean? It's going to be something that you probably wouldn't expect, something like that. So it definitely helps in knowing like timing and things like that, time clock in your head and knowing if you're the backside or the front side first read, you know what I mean? But yeah. And then I guess just leadership, that definitely helps knowing. And then like interview background, because as quarterback, my high school O-line coach told me, you got to be sometimes you got to be the biggest liar on the team. You got to, you know, even if you're lying and got you sacked 5 times, and you get the win, you still got to go out there in the interview, and you know what I mean. Give credit to the O-line, give credit to, you know what I mean. So those type things really prepared me for just putting the team first at all times and being able to just always motivate my guys, no matter, and knowing your team, knowing how you got to talk to certain guys, what gets certain guys going, what might set someone off, and things like that. So just probably leadership and some concepts, I would say, probably helped the most.
Man, you said that perfectly, man. I appreciate you, DeCarlos. Ladies and gentlemen, DeCarlos Nicholson, USC defensive back, coming to a Sunday near you in the near future. Man, I wish you the best, bro. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, no doubt. So that was DeCarlos Nicholson, USC defensive back. Appreciate him coming on. Appreciate Chris Sanders as well, man. We got the Draft Stars series kicked off, man. I'm excited about that. So definitely continue to rock with us, man. Stay tuned. Check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, everywhere you get to find listening materials. Search Talking With TD. Subscribe, rate, review. Appreciate you.
Hey, Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.